There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's it is?
It's gotta be mental.
I love a pizza.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of The Front Three. Joining me as always is the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
I'm on the streets.
I can hear that. And we've also got the stat man himself, Dave O'Brien.
Hello, lads. How are we going?
It's good. I'm glad to be back. I
missed you.
I was upset to have missed the podcast in midweek, but I had a great time listening to it. I think Kristen was
It was
fantastic.
Less philosophical, though, wasn't it? Less philosophical, Adam.
Yeah. We got an interesting comment from Charles Antionades on Twitter. He said, Adam Boltwood, when you aren't here, the podcast gets so philosophical. We need the real talk journalist back. That's not the first things I'd use to describe myself. Not a journalist, for one. But real talk, I like that. I'll try and bring the real talk to this Q&A special coming to you on a Saturday.
No, Wayne.
Yeah. First off, guys, seeing as it is, it's a big weekend, top of the table clash between Leicester and Manchester United. Dave, I'm going to come to you first. I've got a question here from Mark Gilmore. He wants to know, Dave, is Jamie Vardy going to break Ruud van Nistelrooy's consecutive Premier League goal-scoring record?
I think he is. I've got that feeling inside my gut that he's going to score against Manchester United, and he will. Because it's kind of like, it's written in the stars, isn't it, that he's playing against Man United, the club that Ruud van Nistelrooy played for, that got the brilliant record. The interesting thing I saw this week, apparently the average position of opponents that Ruud van Nistelrooy scored against was came seventh in the Premier League versus the one that the opponents that Vardy scored against in this run, averaging at about 10th to 11th in the Premier League. So, you know, Ruud scored against a better quality of opposition, but obviously I can't make that argument yet. But, you know, it will happen. I've just got a feeling it's going to happen.
Dave, do you also think that's a bit of a misnomer, though? Because wasn't Ruud's record over two seasons? So yeah, it's hard to say where you are, what position in the table it is at that point. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, but this is final position, Lawrence. This is final position. Obviously, Vardy's...
Yeah, but we don't know where Vardy's going to finish. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
But stop twisting the stats, Dave. Stop twisting the stats.
Back off, mate. That's part of my job, that, right?
It's
Lawrence, would you agree with that? Because Manchester United, as we well know, have got the best defence in their league. They've only conceded 9 goals all season, 3 of which came against Arsenal, of course. So do you think Jamie Vardy's going to be able to break through that rear guard this weekend?
I think Vardy's obviously in a reasonable position, but he's also coming up against the stingiest defence in the Premier League. And Mike Smalling and, you know, Ian De Gea and all those guys. So I think, you know, when you contrast the fact that he's been in such good form, but then also the fact that Manchester United look like they can cut off whatever supplier it is that's going to bring the goals to him, then it is the perfect narrative, like most people have been saying. All I'd say is I like that he's equaled it. What if it was just to stay as equal?
Equal.
That would be great. Ruud still live on in the memory of the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to do it personally. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Manchester United are going to make sure they maintain Ruud's record. But
they really care. You know how much Van Gaal liked Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, I'm not like it's not going to be their main purpose of the game. But I'm just saying, I think they're
right, guys. The MO here. Subconsciously. Don't bother about the win. Yeah. Make sure Vardy doesn't score. All right?
It's all about Ruud. Let me move on to the next question. Then we've got a question here from Brad with 4 D's on Twitter at Brad Hensley. He says, Lawrence, thoughts on Pep Guardiola's future, considering those recent links with Manchester City. Those rumours again coming round. That he's off to the Etihad Stadium.
Yeah, I do often I wonder about that. I mean, Pep himself has apparently said that he prefers London over anywhere else in England. I also think these rumours tend to rear their head when Man City are not playing so well, or maybe they have a couple of questionable results, and therefore people sort of say, well, what kind of football would we be playing if we were playing with someone else? And I think overall, I would say that it's also some. I wonder whether sometimes these are placed by Man City or someone close to the club to placate the way that the fans are treating the situation, mainly because I think they realise it's a long-term plan here. I mean, Dave was listing it just the other day, and you know, about how much further ahead people feel they are in Manchester. So I would say it's more of a PR thing than anything else. And if anything, very often you don't know which side these things have come from. You're also wondering, is Guardiola angling for a new contract in some way, you know, looking to get the fee higher, etc., etc.?
Dave, let's go to Serie A. Do Inter have a solid chance of winning it this year? We've got Gabriel Cassar on Twitter asking that. What do you reckon? Do Inter and Roberto Mancini have a chance of taking home the Scudetto this season?
You see, I think I'm going to go with yes, 100%. Pre-Serie A starting, I thought Inter, with the signings that they made, Kondogbia, they shored up their defence, signing Miranda and a number of other lads. So it's one of those things where they've looked good. They've only conceded 7 goals in the league this season, which is pretty decent. But I just feel that in Italy, sometimes it is about the best defensive record. And if you do score goals, they've got the likes of Jovetic and Icardi that can, you know, can fire goals in. So it's just getting that balance right. And they started to click against Firenze. So it's one of those things where I do think Inter are going to, you know, go and win the league. Mm. Juventus is going to be their own main rivals, in my personal opinion. I think Juventus are starting to kick on, you know, Dybala, Pogba. They started to look a bit better in the 3-5-2 that they've switched to of late. So it's going to be Juventus, Inter for the title, I think.
Why though? Do you think people have suddenly got a bit of faith in Inter? Because earlier on in the season, Dave, when I was talking about Inter and sort of talking up their prospects, you know, who they've bought, those kind of things, people were saying there's still a questionability over the longevity of the team, over what Mancini can do with the side, and you know whether they can last the distance. And I think part of it is, you know, we've seen how Juve have done. They've basically taken themselves away from being one of the, you know, the outright winner, basically. But then we've also got other sides who are, it looks like, a much more diverse league this season. So why are Inter suddenly so much further ahead than, say, a Roma or a Fiorentina?
I think that's the thing, that Fiorentina, that they have played this brilliant style of football with the 3-4-3 under Sousa, and it's been really good. They've scored the second most goals in the league. But defensively, you know, you've got to question it, conceding 2 goals against Empoli and then having to bring on Kalinic at the weekend to get the 2-2 draw doesn't really show signs of a champion. Whereas Inter Milan, they just look like champions. You know, Roma again, that you mentioned there, they're too leaky. They've conceded more goals than any other team in the last 10 minutes of games. It's a real mentality thing. There's a lad at the Squawker office called Michelangelo, an avid Roma fan.
And he was telling me today
that Roma really lack mentality, and there's a real issue with Rudy Garcia, that when Roma get a lead, they can't keep the lead. And that's a big issue. I think they've scored the second most goals in the first sort of quarter of the game. But then at the end of the game, they're conceding goals. They're not turning these winning positions into victories. And that's what the issue with Roma is. And then Fiorentina, you know, I don't feel Fiorentina have that grasp.
They also have the worst, I think, don't they have the worst Champions League record this season, Roma? Is it worse than everyone else in their group? Or is it the worst Champions League record? Is it worse than Maccabi, worse than all those other guys?
No. So Roma will go through. If they win the last game, Roma are going to go through. Bayer Leverkusen drew midweek away against Beite, and they only got the 1 point there. So it's really put Roma in the commanding seat. If Roma get a result against Beite, if they win that game, they are through to the next round of the knockout stages. The only issue that Roma have is obviously they played a high-pressing game against this Barcelona team and got teared an absolute new one, because that's what happens. That is what happens. If you play Barcelona and you press them, it's mental. Real Madrid did it. Roma did it. And it's people have forgotten how to play against Barcelona. You should be playing defensively in your own half, counter-attacking. That's it. You can't play them at their own game, because they're so much better at it than you.
I think Rafa proved a real point, and I think Jose proved it. There's been a couple of managers that have proved the real point that if you choose to play Barcelona at their own game, you're going to lose. Mm. I think, you know, there have been a couple of managers in a row. Like, Jose was given this long-term credit for, oh, well, you know, I mean, he deliberately played an over-attacking side, whereas Rafa's not clever enough to play it tactically.
Does this answer Nathan Van Loon's question, are Barcelona in recent form unstoppable? He's saying they're stoppable, Dave, but people need to be smarter tactically when they come up against them.
I think the thing with Guardiola's Barca, people knew that you sit deep against them, you put like a bank of four, then maybe a bank of five, whichever way you want to do it, two defensive midfielders or one defensive midfielder, then one up top, and you hit them on the counter attack. You attack down the flanks. It's classic playing against a possession orientated side. The issue that we've had recently is that under Enrique, people have forgotten that this is Barcelona. It's the same team, the same component of players, that you hit them on the counter attack, you will potentially win the game. Whereas teams have come out, Roma played such a high line midweek, it was ridiculous. They were playing a line that was near the halfway line against Barcelona. You look in the first half, like the first half was a real I can't think of the word right now, a real sort of
microcosm
to what's going to happen in the second half. The amount of times they were getting in behind and being caught at offside, Barcelona, like that's a Neymar, Suarez, and you're thinking, are you crazy? Like, are you mad playing this higher line? It's just, for me, it's people have forgotten how to play this Barcelona team.
Right, let's move on to the next question. And we've got a great question here from Oscar Anderson. Lawrence, we'll come to you first. Which team will be the next team? Oh, very loud. Which team will be the next team to win their first? Oh, okay. Which team will be the next team to win their first Champions League, Lawrence? Oscar thinks it's going to be Atletico Madrid. Apart from Tottenham, obviously, who's going to be that first team?
Hear myself think down there, mate. Yeah. I would say that's an interesting question, actually, isn't it? I would love to say it was an English team. You know,
Manchester
I'm really impressed.
City? Pep coming in? Takes them to Champions League glory. I can see that happening.
I wonder whether it's going to be... I mean, that's the problem, is actually the people who are powerful at the moment have all won Champions Leagues very recently. PSG have never won the Champions League, have they? So,
no, they haven't. I don't think they have.
They've never won the Champions League. I think they've won a European Cup. I don't know if they've ever won a Champions League.
Listen, Ronaldo's there next season.
I was going to say, what if it was PSG? It would be very poetic within football.
I think it'll be Manchester City. I'm just going to go for that. What do you really? you reckon PSG, Lawrence? And Dave, what are you saying?
I'm going to say PSG would be the next team. I don't know. Are we talking in the same way that question is sort of, you know, within the next 10 years or whatever?
Like, I'd love to see Atletico Madrid win it, but PSG is probably the most probable one. They won the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup in 95-96 season, but they've never won the European Cup. So for them, you know, money talks in football. I think they will eventually, they'll get their formula right, whether it's with Mourinho or without Mourinho, that eventually PSG are going
to
win it.
Next question. Let's go to Australian football expert Lawrence McKenna for, is Tim Cahill the best Australian player of all time, Lawrence?
Well, I mean, I've got to say...
using your vast knowledge.
I mean, you know, people compare him with the likes of, now think of some Australian footballers.
Harry Kewell.
Yes. And Bresciano.
Oh, Bresciano, what a shout.
We're also thinking of big players out there at the moment in the Premier League, Adam. I mean, you know, to name but a few, Jedinak, and of course, Jedinak.
Yes.
I think he's probably the one that's had the most notable career within Europe. I think there are going to be much bigger future Australian players. Australia almost has that perfect way to breed players, not breed in a, you know, terrible sense, but, you know, they have a lot of sports over there which are very physical. You know, you've got Aussie rules, those kind of things, which I think breed incredibly fit footballers and, you know, probably give a different kind of body type to football. And I think Tim Cahill certainly was part of the different body type that came to the Premier League and made it a more imposing league. So I think at the moment he's the most notable. I can't think of anyone else.
That was a great answer there from Australian football expert Lawrence McKenna. Great stuff. I was very impressed. Okay. I would have just said maybe if it were me. Dylan Arvella says, what do you guys think of the idea whoever takes a penalty kick has to take it? Whoever wins a penalty kick has to take it. I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago. We all said it's a great idea.
Mark Viduka.
Mark Schwarzer. Oh.
Mark Schwarzer. It's all about the marks. That's what it is about. It's all about Marxism, guys. And not only that, but Mark Bresciano. Yes. The best people in football. What are the marks? Mark.
Dave, let me give you an opportunity to maybe lay into LBG.
Mark Bosnich.
Oh, he's not a great mark. Hanzala Abassi said, why didn't LBG loan Wilson out at the start of the season? Because now he's lost out on 3 months of football. And he's done like a little emoticon face, kind of like looking off at the side, like, you know, what's this shit? What do you reckon,
well,
Dave?
Well, I think that he might have still been drunk from the Christmas party, because to not consider who you're going to have in your squad at certain times. You know, the loan of Adnan Januzaj to Borussia Dortmund is another example of stupidity and a lack of planning, a real lack of planning. You know, the Europa League clash yesterday that was between Krasnodar and Borussia Dortmund, Januzaj didn't even start. What is the point of him being there? The opening few games of the season, Januzaj looked really, really good. Got hammered by LVG in a press conference, which is absolutely awful. You know, destroying the player's confidence. And then probably the next day, he's like, you know, I'll go out on loan. You know, James Wilson, he needs to be playing football. Gary Neville is completely right. Too many English players get to the age of about 22 and have played, you know, no first team experience, no first team sort of appearances. And for me, the loan now for James Wilson is good. But for me, he should have been in the United team at some point. You know, he should be being brought on, or, you know, it's just, it's absolute craziness, really. It really is. It's...
We're talking about aren't
there people at the BBC who are saying that there are players who are saying that they feel, and this is what I find unusual, is I feel like players, it's almost which came first, the chicken or the egg, a certain kind of management or a certain kind of footballer. Chicken. And there are, what do you call me? And then there are also, the point would be at Manchester United that at the moment there is a bit of a culture clash. I mean, we saw the same thing with Capello in the England team. You know, Capello had made a series of great changes at a series of clubs. And I understand things have changed for him more recently. But at the time, you know, and you'd even say now with Louis van Gaal, there are people who have a certain agenda for a certain kind of football that they want, and if it's anything outside of that, I think there's a real lack of appreciation for what certain people do.
Yeah,
well, and I think the same is with Louis van Gaal.
Let me just move on to I wanted to talk about England players there, Dave, because you mentioned there about young English players, Gary Neville saying they're not getting a chance. Robert Winter has sent in a question here saying, does it look like the future England team will be better than the Lampard Scholes era, the sort of the golden generation era? Lawrence, let me come to you with that one. What do you reckon, the future England team looking good? You know, the likes of the youngsters, Dele Alli in there, Chris Smalling.
Certainly so. I mean, Raheem
John
Sterling.
Stones. Yeah.
Jordan Ibe. Other young centre-backs. I mean, young goalkeepers who are probably going to come through.
Oh, Butland. Eh?
I think they may be in a team which plays, I mean, Ross Barkley. They may be in a team which can fuse better together because of the style of football they play at each club and because of the way that maybe they'll be coached at each club. I wonder whether technically or kind of confidence-wise they're as good. I think in many ways they compare, but it has to be on an index. We have to index these players somehow. I think that's part of the problem is, Dave, and I don't know whether you believe this, I don't know whether you agree with this, but it's hard to index the way that players play. So we just directly compare stats from the 90s to stats with the thousands. And actually, that's almost ludicrous if you think it's the same as comparing, you know, stocks in the 90s with stocks now.
Yeah, correct.
There's been inflation, all those kind of things. And I think that makes it difficult to compare directly.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One thing I'd say there is that you look at the number of touches players get, and right now in the modern game, it's I think it was something like an average of 1,000 touches over a season or over a game or something for a player. I'm not sure which it was. And now it's like 3,000. So the numbers might be incorrect, but what I'm saying is you get three times more touches than you did in the 90s. What I feel about England than Gerrard and Lampard is that England were they were pushed into this zone where Gerrard and Lampard were brilliant, both brilliant midfielders, and they were like the stars of the team. But there were two of them and we couldn't fit them in the same team. What I feel now is that it's more of a team. There's more of that. Nobody's the standout star and they're all working together and they're all coming through at the right time, which kind of makes me feel that for England over the next few years, we're going to have a lot, the setup's going to be a hell of a lot better just because we're not focusing on making a team around Gerrard or building a team around Lampard. You know, we've missed massive opportunities. For example, building a midfield around Paul Scholes or building a midfield around Michael Carrick. You know, these players that really do dictate the play. But now we're in a situation where we're sort of half and half, we're kind of like ready for the future.
We do slightly lack progression, I think, in some areas. I mean, you mentioned Gary Neville making those comments. I think Gary Neville is probably one of the more standout coaches and one of the more standout voices in the game right now.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who speak in a rather individualized, regressive way about football. There's a number of people who think in a very fixed way about football. It doesn't necessarily make it the most progressive way. And I think the Premier League and the immediacy of what the Premier League requires does make it difficult for English football and other footballers within that to flourish, or to, I think maybe that's the wrong word, is to progress in the right way. And yeah, I think overall the mentality is going through somewhat of a reform right now in English football.
Hmm. Next question is from the one and only Mike Smalling on Twitter. He said, does Dave own any more shirts than the blue one?
No, he doesn't. Dots? No.
I think what I'd like to say here is that I'm a little bit like Homer Simpson, where he's got a number of white tops.
Yeah, you haven't just got one.
And that's what it is. Yeah, I've got a number of them that are rotating constantly in life.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's just a load of the same coloured shirts in a cupboard, and it's just, you know, you pick one out, you put it on.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yes, Dave, that's clothes. Yes.
That's how they work.
Yeah, that's Marco, how clothes work.
Marco Fabian, you know, you can't Dave. Marco Fabian as well wants to know, how comes Dave doesn't promote his YouTube channel? I wish I had found it ages ago.
I don't know, maybe I should do it a bit more. It's just one of those things that I do every United game so far. Push it out, but I don't know.
It's almost as if Dave chose these questions.
Do I want more?
Tell me, why is Dave so good looking?
Guys, I don't know. Go and check out Dave's YouTube channel. What is the URL, Dave, that people have to type in?
Shit, I don't know. Let me just double check.
What are you going to
do? Are you kidding me, Dave?
You should know this off the top of your head.
Well, I've not got, you know, because I'm pretty rubbish at YouTube.
Yeah, we know.
My channel is still a mess here. Like,
it's David O'Brien TV.
Yeah, it's David
just
O'Brien TV.
David O'Brien
TV. Dave, you've made a classic mistake. You've really pissed me off with that name. David O'Brien TV.
What's wrong with that?
What should I call it? I don't know what to call it.
TV. He sounds like it's something my dad would call this channel. It's, McKenna TV.
All right, Lawrence, what should I call it then?
I call it Davecast. What's your problem?
Davecast. Dave, I like the channel, and I like, since how you've moved house, you've got a more expansive backdrop. It's not just a wall anymore. It's the skyline.
It's now a wall and a door.
Yeah. No, it's some of the London skyline.
To be honest, right? Yeah, no. So if you look out I might do a YouTube show about my skyline, because you can see everything. You can see the Shard, you can see the Gherkin, you can see Victoria Park or the Winter Wonderland in there. You know, it's one of those things where we could build on that, lads. Mm. We could build on it.
Probably see my house from there, Dave. You probably see my house from there.
Mine and Lawrence's invite to the house morning, is it in the post yet? It must still be in the post.
We haven't had one yet. No, we still haven't had one.
Oh,
we
right. Okay.
Kept it quiet. But we might have a housewarming.
Open to all front free listeners. It's going to
be all the front free listeners. Come down.
Come around.
We'll have a riot.
It's going to be mental. Right. Next question. More about that in the next episode. Next question is from Alan K. Apfel. He says, lots of talk of Liverpool Spurs being in the top four. With the way they are both playing, can you see them both making it? Dave, what do you reckon?
Interesting.
I think it's going to be one or the other, to be honest, because I think Man United.
No, I don't know. They both look so good right now. Like, Liverpool and Spurs are the two teams that I like to watch the most in the Premier League. They play the most attractive style of football. Like, you two are absolutely privileged right now. Like, Spurs are playing a brilliant passing game.
I have nothing Liverpool to do with the way Spurs play, but thank you, yes.
Never, you know,
I made the calls.
Yeah. You're both the fans of those clubs, and what I mean with that is that you've just got to take it that right now you're playing brilliant football. Just watch as much of the clubs as you can. That's what I mean. Like, they're just brilliant to watch, both of them.
I think they deserve it. Manchester City and Arsenal, well, maybe before a few weeks ago, I said they're both bang on, but they probably are almost certainties to be in that top four. Are they not? Am I wrong in saying that?
I reckon, yeah, that's the thing. I think that it's probably going to be Spurs fourth, Liverpool fifth.
I think it's one or the other, essentially.
Because of the style, I love football, and I love when people play football the right way, in my opinion, of playing this progressive, attacking, pressing game. So I just like them both. But I do feel that, you know, the likes of Man City, the likes of Man United, even though Man United are playing rubbish football and they're boring and they're defensive and whatever, they're just going to grind it out. And then Arsenal are going to hit good form again. So I think it will be one other team, which will be Spurs and then Liverpool in fifth.
We've got two great questions here. One from Finbar McMahon, who's always sending a good question. Well, he said, if Messi had joined Madrid and Ronaldo had joined Barca, hypothetically, which team would be more successful?
I was thinking about this just the other day.
I would be tempted to say Barcelona, because although Messi is perhaps the greatest player of all time, and he is the focal point of that team, there was also a generation of incredible players brought through the Masia. We're looking at Busquets, we're looking at Iniesta, we're looking at Xavi, who peaked at the same time. So although Messi is the focal point of that team and the main star throughout the last 6-7 years when they've been the best team in the world, there were also a number of incredible, a generation that peaked at the same time, coincidentally, almost.
That's one of the questions I wanted to ask Ian Balagay that I didn't ask the other day in the interview, why did Ronaldo pick Real Madrid, say, ahead of another European side? Why leave United would have been my question, because, you know, they had the chance to be so imperious at the time.
Isn't that the dream of many sort of, you know, Spanish, Portuguese, South American players to play for one of those two clubs? It's one or the other.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, why did he pick Real Madrid? Why ahead of Barcelona? Why? You know, just a number of reasons of why. What was Ronaldo's thinking behind that, basically? And also, I mean, Messi's a little bit different because he was a very young child.
I assume it's not as if Barcelona came in with a bid for Ronaldo. I mean, he literally could weigh it up. I assume it was Real Madrid that was chasing him. He was interested, and Barcelona didn't really try and sign him.
I see what you're saying.
Whereas with Neymar, apparently Real Madrid, you know, did try and sign Neymar, and Neymar made the choice almost.
Same as Suarez, actually.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, interesting on both.
Would you say that Barcelona would have been the more successful, though, because of the team around Messi?
Well, you also sort of wonder, what would Pep Guardiola have done with Ronaldo? You know, or I suppose that was part of it, is actually what Guillaume was telling us the other day, with us, that to some extent, he was moldable. And in the right environment, he probably would take on what the coach said, but it had to be the right environment. And I imagine, you know, you almost imagine going one of two ways, the Ibrahimovic way, which is, no, I know exactly what I want, or the way which is, you know, I want a figure in my life who's going to give me some sort of structure. And you think, you know, you do wonder, what would Ronaldo have become if he'd gone to Barcelona? Would he have been less muscular? Would he have been a bit more of a technical footballer, all those kind of things?
I think it's interesting what we were saying to Guillaume about how, although we were fascinating when we spoke to Guillaume, weren't we?
No, I'm saying we're more interested in the Guillaume. I'm not saying me on my own.
Yes. No, but we were sort of saying
good point, Guillaume, but I'm also interested.
Yeah, I'm bloody fascinated, yeah. Mate. No, the Real Madrid maybe haven't equipped Ronaldo with the tools he needs to succeed the club, you know, the way it's run makes things difficult, but anyway, moving on to the next question. We've got a question here from Jeremy AFC. If you could each bring on one person to the podcast from the football world, who would it be? No. Let's just say Xabi Alonso is a given.
No, Xabi Alonso is a given, blah, blah, blah. Actual football world,
real life people.
Wider football world, who would you bring? Dave?
Right now, obviously I'd love to speak to Pep Guardiola.
No, Dave.
Absolutely fantastic. But I quite like to speak to Michael Carrick. I think he's a thinker of the game, and I think that, you know, he's looking to maybe move into punditry, and it'd be really interesting to see. Obviously, he's played for United, he's played at a really, really top level. I'd like to think about his opinions of the game. Also, Ryan Giggs. I'd love to ask Ryan Giggs, what is your footballing philosophy? Do you want to press? Do you want to sit back? Have you got a formation that you're going to stick to? I think that's, you know, there's a number of questions for ex-United players. And Gary Neville, you know, what's your approach in England setup? Do you ever want to manage United? I think there's too many people I want to speak to.
Wow. Lawrence?
Jonathan Wilson.
Good answer.
A fascinating man. Good travels, speaks to a number of people. I don't know. Yeah, Jonathan Wilson.
I think a great person to get on would be Gab Marcotti. We've had Guillaume Balagay. Gab Marcotti is very opinionated. He's a very knowledgeable man. I think he'd bring even more insight than we already give the good people.
Student of the game as well. So he kind of, you know, while other people are talking about the broad brushstrokes and the headlines, Gab is someone who really gets into the nitty and the gritty and the details. That I think there are journalists out there that do it, but I think there aren't as many as maybe we imagine. Mm. And, you know, I think he really gets in. So he'll read papers. He'll be, you know, he'll really go into the detail, basically, of what's affecting the game. And I also think where he's based himself and where he's taking his career right now, having spoken to a couple of people who are close to him, I think he would be... So, he's the kind of guy who... I think he actually has his finger on the pulse of where you know, the politics of football is going. I think that would be quite fascinating.
Wouldn't mind getting Messi on as well, because them hits
not very talkative though,
is it? But the hits would be pretty special. We would be the biggest podcast
for ever. 1 week only.
Yeah, forever. So we've got a few questions to run through because we're running out of time. There were a lot of great questions this week, but don't worry, we will save them. Try and save them for next week because there've been a lot of good questions.
Should do an episode for Sunday as well.
Yeah, just do like a podcast every day, maybe.
To be fair, we could. The amount of tweets we get every day, we could actually do a Q&A every day.
The amount of interaction everyone's sending in
over Christmas. I think we should do it. We should do a marathon and over Christmas give the listeners a podcast for 12 days of Christmas.
Let me finish on this one because this is a great question. Actually, right, three questions.
Just ignores me.
No, three questions. This one's a big one. Right. Preston, he said, who wins a final between 2005-06 peak AC Milan and the 2009-10 Barcelona team?
Liverpool. Oh, shit.
probably, for me, Barcelona. Lawrence, what are you saying?
I don't know. That AC Milan side was something special. Kaká in midfield, Hernan Crespo up front. Mm. You'd say that, you know, they had quality strikers to be able to score beyond that back line, but Shevchenko was up there as well. Think about, and then that back line, Maldini was the captain of that team. The only questionable side was really the goalkeeper, and you sort of think, I don't know, I think it would have been the movement to Barcelona that would outdo that AC Milan side, but in midfield, you'd think that there is some, you know, the Gattuso side of things. I'd love to see what Gattuso would have done in a final against Barcelona in the way that he would have shut people down, been very aggressive, not let them play.
Dave, what are you saying?
Oh, it's got to be the Barcelona. I think they could nullify that team for me.
Ancelotti, though, guys. Come on, that's Ancelotti.
This is the team that lost to Liverpool, right? We're talking about.
Yeah, but that's Amen. A freak result. Yeah, I mean, that team went 3-0 up, and they were. They were good in that season.
I just think that you could nullify Pirlo. Pirlo is a player that you can nullify, and Barcelona would have found that. Guardiola would have found that. Guardiola would have put something on him.
It's a good point, because when Liverpool nullified the midfield, then the AC Milan side didn't play, did they? But then, yeah, I suppose there's all those ifs and buts, you know.
That is the issue.
Two questions before we leave for this weekend's podcast. I've got
So philosophical.
This is the real talk, Germans.
The real talk.
Here's the real talk from Pulley. Pulley wants to know, one, what's your favourite food?
Oh, good one. Dave?
Oh, shit, that is so tough. I love loads of food.
Calzone, Dave?
I love loads
of food. Yeah, I love a pizza. Like a pizza, I think that's it. A pizza's probably my favourite food.
I love pizza, I love pasta. I love fish. I love white fish. White fish is really
white
good.
White fish
like a sea bass or a sea bream. You know,
my favorite
something
food
beautiful.
Is Mexican.
I tried Peruvian food the other day.
No, it's
for
not
the first
actual
time.
Mexican.
Fantastic. What would you go for, Ed?
Mexican. Now, let me ask you another question from Pulley. Pulley wants to know, who's the strongest out of the three of you?
I think we
need to get into a sumo style ring.
Lawrence, mate, what's your problem?
All three of us go up against each other. Who's going to win? It's going to be me.
Lawrence.
As a mate, I reckon I could do you.
What?
I reckon David, do you?
I reckon I could do Dave.
Dave's small and scrappy. Yeah, but Dave's small and scrappy, and he'd sort of be like, he'd throw instead of throwing sand in Adam's face, he'd throw stats in his face.
Whoa.
And then he'd be like, shit, while he's blinded, while you've taken his glasses, you'd get him in his big knees.
I've lost a while, but Adam would just come in with a. You know, we've seen him on the football pitch, haven't we, Lawrence? He's a killer.
Yeah.
He's a real killer.
Yeah, no,
it's
true. Yeah, but that's the point, Adam, is while Adam's bouncing off the ropes, you're sort of setting yourself up on the top turnbuckle. You just, bam, straight down. And, you know, you've got Dave, the Dave Super Stunner taking him out. You call it the stat stunner, and it would be like, oh, my God, he's
brilliant.
Got the number 9. Oh, my God, no! He just hit the number 10 off the back of his head.
John Cena. On that note, guys, that Dave brings an end to this question and answers podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. I think we all had a great time. Hope you did too. Until next time, though, Lawrence, where can the good people find your face? Where can they find your words, if they so wish?
Find me on the Football Republic, obviously, and also Lozcast, LOZCAST,
And Dave, S-Q-U-A-W-K-A, Dave on Twitter, is it not?
Or if you wanted to find me on YouTube,
there we go.
Dave O'Brien TV.
Promote that
Dave
channel,
O'Brien
mate.
Online mail.
If you want to look at my face, you can go on the Football Republic. If you want to look at the things that I write on a keyboard and press enter on, it's Twitter at Adam Boltwood. If you want to tweet all of us, it's at The Front Three on Twitter. Tweet us your questions, suggestions, your thoughts, your life story, anything. We've got a guest lined up. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to do two podcasts a week. The first podcast on Wednesdays is going to be a little bit of news, 40 minutes of news, 20 minutes of an expert guest coming on every week. Next week, we've got a special guest. Keep an eye on the Twitter to find out who that is. Until then, we'll see you later on The Front Three.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.